Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes, great for any project. Whether you're pouring a walkway, a concrete slab, or setting a post, view our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
Dreams and OBEs by Consideration Salt 134. My sister and I are good friends, and we sometimes share our thoughts with each other. 3 years ago, we lost our mother due to COVID, so we talk about her a lot. She was a big influence on our lives, and we miss her a lot. She was a spiritual person, and sometimes we talk about how we didn't understand what was on her mind, like her concept of God, her love for meditation, and so on. Inspired by her, I started researching a lot about God and the universe starting in late 2023. I also began using the Gateway tapes to try and have an out-of-body experience not long ago, because I was really afraid and had to prepare myself mentally. My sister doesn't like the spiritual talk, and is a very materialistic person who doesn't want to be involved in anything metaphysical. So I was just lying down at 12 p.m., slowly drifting in and out of sleep, when sleep paralysis hit me. I began to vibrate. It was my entire body, especially my spine. Because that happened before, I wasn't afraid. But then I felt, didn't hear, but immediately felt, somehow, the question from my mother. Do you want that? I answered multiple times, yes, yes, I do, I'm ready. And then I felt somebody pull me away from my body, holding me by both my hands. I would describe that feeling as if you were to get separated from your body, like it was some kind of protective glass from a phone screen. You feel the hardest vibration in the part where you get separated until you fully go off. I rolled out like a log and I fell to the floor and then went to the kitchen. I watched my father sleep. I teleported to places that I can't understand. Now, this all seemed like I couldn't control myself or where I was going, like I was dreaming, but it was far too realistic. Then I ended up back in bed, and I asked my mother, "Want to talk, please?" She responded, "You're not ready. You have to wait." I then saw this white hand reaching toward me. I cartoonishly screamed at it and woke up. There were some more details about the places I teleported to, but I feel like they're irrelevant. I can only point out that I checked several times to confirm I was sleeping. I did this by closing my nose with my hands, and I was still able to breathe. I was intrigued by the experience that I kept checking to see if I was still asleep afterwards. Now, I told my sister about this 2 days later. After that, she texted me to say that she had seen our mother the same day that I did. That day she was very sad and tired. She told her husband that she missed our mother and her old home, and that it would have been so nice if she could have just gone back there, even for a moment. She went to sleep and had a big dream. She says that it was the first time she saw our mother so clearly in a dream. Before that, it was always either from the back or far away, and without any word exchange. This time, she was talking with her. They were sitting in a small white room that connected to a long, dim white corridor with other rooms. Our mother was sitting with this other unknown woman for some reason. My sister was sitting beside her, so close that she could see her face clearly. It was beautifully white, almost without a wrinkle, and had a warm smile. They started talking about our dead relatives. Our mother had a long conversation about why and how someone died. Then, as my sister wanted to share the news of me graduating, her getting her driver's license, and giving birth to a son, she was stopped by some woman who was sitting in the room. The woman stopped her mid-sentence and told her, "We don't talk about earth matters here. She isn't interested. It's all different here. Go back to your home." My sister responded with something rude and then started feeling very scared because it seemed like she was about to get kicked out. She reached for our mother's hand, but the hand was non-physical. Our mother smiled at her. The woman said, "Stop doing that." My sister got very angry, to the point that she wanted to hit the woman, but then she woke up. Very strange and very interesting. I would be glad to hear what you think of both of these experiences and your overall thoughts on the stories.
Was my brother possessed? By wow, look at the moon. This took place back in 2017, when I was a senior in high school. It was just me, my mom, and my older brother, who was about 21 or 22. We lived in a very rural area down a long road with other connecting long roads. We had some neighbors, but they were spaced out over miles. It was around 10 at night when my mom and I were on the couch watching a movie. I remember it was storming pretty badly. Lots of thunder and lightning, and very heavy rain. My brother was in his room drinking heavily. He had a drinking problem, and when he drank, he had an anger problem. He came out of his room grumbling and stomping. Then he went into the kitchen and started slamming things. Finally, my mom told him to knock it off and to stop drinking. He started yelling at her, so I got involved and tried to get him to go back to his room to cool off. Instead, he walked right out of the front door and slammed it. About 5 minutes later, I decided to go out there and check on him, but he wasn't on the front porch. I realized his car was still there, so at least he wasn't driving. I went to the back porch to see if he was there, and nothing. I started calling his name. "Evan! Evan, where are you? Come back inside, it's nasty out here." I did this several times and got no response. So I went back inside and after waiting a little bit longer, I told my mom I was going to drive around and look for him. I was worried he could have been walking down the roads and fell or gotten hit by a car. The streets were dark with no streetlights for miles, and people like to drive down the back roads really fast. I got into my car and backed out of my long gravel driveway. It was starting to rain, but I had the window rolled down and was screaming for him. "Evan, where are you?" I ended up driving in all three directions from my house, about 2 miles each way looking for him, and he was nowhere to be found. At this point, I was getting very worried. I was heading back to the house, and about 100 feet diagonally from my driveway is a very thick plot of woods. It has some wetlands in it, and it's very dense. So dense my dogs have a hard time running through it. For some reason, I got a very eerie feeling, and I stopped right in front of it. I couldn't tell what it was, but I just felt like I was drawn to it. All of a sudden, I saw movement in the trees. And remember, it's pitch black outside, besides my headlights and the random streaks of lightning. I looked really hard, straining my eyes, trying to figure out why the brush was moving. All of a sudden, I saw my brother walking out, except it wasn't a normal walk. He looked different. He looked taller, bigger, and he was walking with a pace so slow, his back straight and arms by his side, almost like a robot. I sighed in relief and yelled out the window, "Evan, get in. We've been so worried about you." Instead of walking to the passenger side of the car, he walked around the car to my driver's side window, and very slowly, he looked at me right in my eyes, except they were not his eyes. They were pitch black. I could not see any white. He looked so angry. It wasn't his face at all. Then, as he saw the fear in my eyes, I started to tremble. He balled up his fist and lifted his face to the stormy sky and belted out the loudest, deepest, blood-curdling scream I have ever heard. The scream felt like it lasted forever. I was in shock. Then he slowly looked at me again, eyes still pitch black, and for the first time ever, I feared for my life. I sped away as fast as possible, whipped my car into the driveway, and ran into the house. I told my mom as I was frantically locking all the doors and windows and closing the blinds. "Evan is possessed. That is not him out there. Do not open the door." After a few minutes, we started hearing banging on the door and windows and on the side of the house. I know you're probably thinking we should have called the police. Well, that wasn't Evan. Not in that moment. The police would have arrested him, and we didn't want that either. The banging lasted for a few minutes, and then it got incredibly quiet. I shouted through the door, "Evan, are you okay?" Moments passed, and then the banging started again, but this time we heard him growling through the door. Not a human growl, but an animalistic one. The only thing we could think of doing is pray. We grew up pretty religious, and so we prayed, and prayed for Evan to be okay and for whatever was in him to leave him alone. Once the banging and growling stopped, I peeked out the blinds and saw him sitting on the porch. My mom and I decided we would both stay in her room that night, with the door locked and dresser pressed up against it. We unlocked the front door and quietly went into her room, locked and secured the door, and then yelled out of her window that the door is unlocked and that if he were quiet and went to bed, he could come in. It was so hard to sleep that night. I was terrified, and my mom was half in denial. When we woke up the next morning and came out of her room, Evan was sitting at the table, eating cereal. We asked if he was okay, and he just said, "Yeah, why?" We asked if he remembered anything about last night, and he said, "No, but I was wondering why my clothes were wet and muddy." He wasn't mad anymore. His eyes returned to normal, and he didn't remember anything that happened. Was he possessed? What took over my brother that night? I'm happy to say that nothing like that ever happened again.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I Had an Encounter with the Tall Grays by Velvet Hayes. To start, I've always been a believer. To think humans are alone, to me, is crazy. My mother saw crafts over her grandparents' farm in Mississippi in the 70s, along with her father. So I grew up hearing that story. Then, in roughly 2011 or 2012, I saw my own cluster, individual lights in the sky that moved much too slowly to be regular aircraft, then began turning at right angles. You know, the usual works. So needless to say, I had my proof and was content with that. Fast forward to 2 years ago, and I meet my fiancé. He opens up and tells me that he had multiple encounters since childhood, completely convinced that he's been taken over and over. To add to this, we're both autistic. This is relevant, depending on who you ask. Of course, I believe he's telling the truth to the best of his ability. We both struggle with other paranormal occurrences, even to this day. One weekend, we go to visit his family and stay in his old room. The night is normal, nothing unusual, so we go to bed. His German Shepherd is in the room with us, asleep on the floor by the bed. The TV is on, volume low but audible. The room is laid out just like this. The door is recessed, so you walk about 4 feet into the actual room itself. The dresser and TV are on the left, the bed is in the center on the adjoining wall, and the closet sits in the corner near the foot of the bed on the right side of the room. In the middle of the night, I stir and slowly gain consciousness. He's on my right, closest to the TV and door, sound asleep. I realize there's a staticky underwater sound in the air, and the TV is muffled. It's like the whole room is holding its breath. Now the dog is awake and alert, which is completely unlike him. Something isn't right. My skin and my head are both tingling, and I can't move. I open my eyes and the room is too dim, like a dark fog is over everything. I see a figure by my feet. It's tall and thin. But I either couldn't see its face or was unable to simply lift my eyes that high. I'm not sure at this point. I pan my eyes to the right, and in the doorway, just behind the dull illumination of the television, there are three more figures looming in the room, merely observing. They had to be 6 to 7 feet tall. Larger heads, skinny limbs and bodies. I couldn't make out features other than a shadow where the eyes should be. Now, I was alarmed because who could this be? But I knew I wasn't in danger. My heart was racing, but I was calm. I blinked over and over, trying to clear my eyes because I couldn't believe what I was seeing, but they just stood there for what felt like ages, until in a moment, they just vanished. The room brightened, the TV volume resumed, and I could feel my partner breathing next to me again. I remember lying there for a while, pondering what had just happened. It took about a week to confess what I had seen. Naturally, he calls his mom to tell her, and she says that she had heard a massive bang in the attic, only to find nothing disturbed. Months later, he had been visited and taken again one night, but doesn't tell me until 2 days later. This was after he heard banging on our roof and in our attic again. Just like before, nothing was found, but he's convinced it's all related. I just have no idea. I can't find similar stories to ours so far, so what do you guys think? Any insight?
My Haunted Apartment by Grace. In 2020, I moved into a small second-floor apartment in my hometown in Northeast Ohio. This apartment always had a weird vibe to it, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it at first. The building had 4 units on the second level and a small furniture store on the main floor, also owned by the landlords. The kitchen had a window directly across from the sink, which I would have my back to anytime I was doing the dishes. Anytime I was in direct line of sight of the window, there was a sensation of being watched, and always an overall heaviness in my unit and in the foyer. I would consistently find my belongings moved around or missing, have nightmares, sleep paralysis, or insomnia, and generally feel exhausted on a spiritual level. Eventually, I came to the realization that this was all due to paranormal activity, which my sister agreed to, both of us being sensitive to the supernatural. As much as I hated living here, it was the most affordable option for the area and very centrally located to family and work, so it would be impractical to move. In the beginning of 2023, my older brother, we will call him T, passed away in a highway accident early in the morning, approximately at 4 or 5 a.m. That morning, I had woken up at about 3 a.m. with an urgent feeling that I needed to call and check in with him. As much as I regret this in hindsight, obviously I went back to bed and planned to call him at a normal hour. It wasn't until I arrived at work that morning that I found out T had passed. From that point forward, I felt an additional presence in my apartment of someone sitting on the floor at the end of my bed. I didn't immediately attribute this to being T, but I knew someone or something was there. I also frequently heard footsteps throughout my apartment. The following year, I started dating my now fiancé, Andrea, and it's important to mention that she's also extremely sensitive to the paranormal and can be considered clairsentient. As one does in a new relationship, we talked about our families and the similarities between them, including almost the same number of siblings and her older brother having taught her to ride motorcycles. This brother is the same age as T, who also taught me how to ride. The bike Andrea has is the same year, make, and model as T's. She also wears the same heavy-duty work boots that he did. Weird coincidences, but they didn't seem to be anything more than that. At this point in time, Andre didn't know anything more about my brother or the details surrounding his life, just that he had passed away in an accident. One night, within the first couple of months of dating, we were talking about my apartment and the heavy emotions felt there. She started asking me questions about T, like, was he really tall? And, was he wearing tan when he passed? I confirmed both of these things, and she described him perfectly, head to toe, exactly how he was dressed when he passed, minus the shoes. She, quote-unquote, saw his presence in my living room, on the other side of the bedroom wall, wearing a long beige coat, baggy black pants, a flat bill hat, and his work boots. He was also holding a rabbit. When we were younger, T had a pet rabbit named Edgar that passed sometime around 2020, and I had never mentioned Edgar to anyone. After that, she was sleeping at my apartment while I was at work, and I had fully closed the bedroom door when I left. She had a dream that something was trying to get through the door, shaking and yanking hard enough that she thought it would come off the hinges, when my brother appeared and held the door shut. When she woke up, the door was open by almost a foot, and one of T's flannels was on the floor in front of it. Since then, we've moved in together, a little more than an hour away, and he is definitely still with me. There have been some other minor occurrences involving T and his urn, and I've had a few dreams, and we have both seen him in our peripheral, multiple times. But all good things.
No One Really Believes Me by The Big Fish. From what I can remember, I've had two separate experiences with what I believe to be aliens. I've always had a very unserious, random personality. So when I told my family and friends about these experiences, they thought I was messing with them or just seeing things. I've had a handful of friends believe that I saw something, but still chalk it up to me thinking it was something that it wasn't. Long story short, the first time, I believe I saw grays, but very small grays, like the size of a small child. I was young when I saw them, so I do wonder if it was imagined. Still, things happened to me that night that I can't explain. The second time, I know what I saw, and nobody can tell me otherwise. I saw a UFO. The first time, I was around 3 or 4. While I was trying to sleep, at around 3 in the morning, I heard something move next to me. I looked and I saw 2 to 3 grays standing around my room, looking at my nightlight. It wasn't a plug-in, it was more of a small lamp in the middle of the room that would spin so that the light would hit the ceiling, if that makes sense. These beings were a little above my height, as I was 3 or 4 years old, with the usual large heads, large black eyes, small black mouths, and light gray suits. When they spoke, it was deep. It sounded like a gurgling, but it was some kind of language. This is my first time typing it out, and weirdly as I do, I'm remembering more. Now, I didn't know what grays were at the time, so I just stood by the light and the alien. They moved a few things around, kind of playing as a toddler would. One smiled at me, and the next thing I knew, I woke up. I pegged this as being a dream. However, when I looked around my room, I noticed that things were moved exactly how they were in the experience. Of course, when telling my family, and honestly, I would do the same, they chalked it up to just a dream. I just don't understand. The grays and I moved things around, and they stayed moved around, and I can't forget that. The next experience isn't as long. I was 10, and it was a Saturday around 9 or 10 in the morning. We lived near an airport, and I liked to see the planes that were close. I heard something loud outside my window. I thought that it was a plane, but it wasn't the usual sound. It had a whooshing sound, like sheet metal or tinfoil in the wind, but higher pitched. I looked and I saw an almost stereotypical cartoonish UFO. The usual glass dome, metal outer shell, and colorful lights all around. As soon as I saw it, it took off at the speed of light upward. And ever since, when I've told anyone that story, they either don't believe me, they think I've imagined things, or they think I saw something else that wasn't a UFO. Okay, my first experience, I can see that. I'm still iffy myself, but the second, I remember it 12 years later, still clear as day. I know what I saw. A classic UFO.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. and I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shared Dream Revelation by Aquabeam. I usually don't remember my dreams, but this one has stuck with me for years. And not just because it was weird, but because I wasn't the only one who had it. Back in 2019, I dreamed I was at this little gas station off some highway. I didn't recognize it. It was night, and those buzzing lights in the parking lot were the only thing on. I remember standing next to a silver Toyota. There was this woman digging around in her purse, like she'd lost something. Then out of nowhere, this guy came walking out from the dark near the air pump. He looked pissed off, and I woke up right at the last moment, where it felt like something bad was about to happen. I told my roommate about it later that day, and before I could even finish, he goes pale and says, "Wait, gas station, a woman in her car?" He basically had the same dream I did. His version ended with headlights flashing across the lot, but it was still the same vibe. We both kinda just awkwardly laughed it off and figured it was a weird coincidence, but it still definitely freaked us out. 2 weeks later, I was driving home from work, and traffic slowed down. Up ahead were cop cars and an ambulance, pulled into a gas station. This gas station looked slightly different than the one in my dream, but it was the same business. I didn't think much of it, but I did tell my roommate what I saw. We kept our eyes peeled and looked out for the news. Sure enough, we saw the article. A woman in a silver Toyota had been attacked by some guy near the air pump. She fought him off, thankfully. When we saw the article, all we really did was stare at each other. Like, what are the odds? Neither of us had ever even been to that station before. It wasn't exactly how we dreamed it. Nobody died or anything. But it was close enough that it made us wonder if dreams can somehow show you something real before it happens.
A Box of Cereal by Ham K. Hill. My wife and I are very much creatures of habit. Every night after work, while hanging out and doing our thing, we prep for the morning. We both work very early, so this sets us up for success. We do a meal shake for breakfast, and I pack each of our lunches. That's usually some sort of grain salad. On the weekends, sometimes we make each other a nice breakfast, something hot like pancakes or this big American breakfast. Anything that's not cold, like the shakes that we've had all week. Which is why I found it strange that one day, going about our routine, my wife was pulling down our KitchenAid mixer from just above the fridge and let out a, "What the heck?" I walked into the kitchen and asked, "What? What's up?" In her hand was a box of opened, fresh, barely eaten Whole Foods brand Honey Nut Cheerios knockoff cereal. Neither of us drinks much milk. We don't eat cereal, and we rarely have people over to spend the night, much less bring food. We're always the ones who cook. So, what's going on here? We immediately start going through all of our valuables and nothing is missing or out of place. It's just this box of cereal on top of the fridge.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Great episode. Great episode. Let's start things off with some of our listener feedback. In our Discord server, Monsterbait, I like that name, yesterday said, I was listening to you talking over the last episode. Ghosts, poltergeists, and demons, especially in books and movies, are often metaphors for traumatic events that aren't discussed.
Babadook.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Things that we're taught to hide and to be ashamed of when we should be supported. That story seems to be a real life example of hidden trauma manifesting itself as something else, an unknown entity. The history of poltergeist accounts is closely tied to trauma, especially in children. And yeah, you're totally right. You're referring to our story from last week about the author that had some traumatic abuse growing up and seemed to be haunted by some kind of spirits. And it's funny because I was actually listening to another podcast who was just talking about this, about how for some reason, young girls seem to be targeted by evil spirits and hauntings and things like that because they just happen to be so sensitive to them and to trauma and so easily traumatized. At least that's the theory that the author was putting forth in the book that they were reviewing. And I think that totally makes sense. And it's honestly really disturbing and scary when you think about it.
It is. And I don't want to discount any suggestions that these things could actually be real and outside of the mind either.
Mm-hmm.
But it works both ways for sure. And it could be a mixture of both. Maybe the things manifest because of the trauma and that person's spirit is at a very vulnerable state. It could be a number of things. Trauma manifests in very strange ways, things that we wouldn't normally associate with trauma, subconscious behaviors or thoughts, and you never really know. I feel like I said all that recently, but whatever, it's relevant.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. We have another one here from Amanda Elise. They said, GameStop employees are the best. All of them seem to truly care more about someone enjoying XYZ than them making a buck, and maybe that's why so many storefronts are closing, but it's also probably the reason they're still around. Customer service comes first. One of the only businesses around that still cares about the customer. Also, what a find, so jealous.
They were, very customer service oriented, but I did go back there to that same GameStop. Unfortunately, that employee was not there. It was some other younger individual, and he was really pushy about warranties and accessories, wanted me to pre-order a game. Like, it was a constant no, 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 until I finally got my Switch 2 and bopped on out of there. But yeah, whatever. Good customer service, I suppose, most of the time. I don't like pushy salespeople at all. It turns me off like nothing else.
Yeah, and a lot of the times, customer service reps don't have a choice but to be pushy because they're pushed to do the sales, and it sucks for everyone all around.
Would you like to upgrade to extra large, or would you want double meat? Would you like to donate and round up to blah, blah, blah because their CEO won't do it?
Yeah, oh, good point, yeah.
Yeah, no. No thanks.
Speaking as a former GameStop employee, I'm not sure if you even knew that, did you?
I didn't. What? Yeah. Who even are you?
For just like a couple of months, I left to go work at a bakery after that. There was this period of time when I was 18 to 19 where I worked a bunch of different jobs. I just job hopped. The economy was apparently doing great for me. And it ultimately ended up at a yogurt store after all of them. But one of those was a GameStop job. And I remember really loving it because I was able to take home whatever game I wanted. And like you could rent out a game, basically. It's like your free rental store if you're an employee. And it was great, but I was dabbling in some green substance at the time. And I did not care about my job whatsoever. And I was screwing up big time. Like I was giving people games with like boxes without the games in them. I was like not giving people receipts. I was bad. I just didn't care.
Wow.
Even though I was bad at that part of the job, I was always really nice to customers and loved talking to them about video games and giving them recommendations. I was out of my mind at that time, but yeah, I definitely cared about the customers in a sense.
And now we care about the audience. So look at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's do one more here before we move on. Lindsay said, the deck fell off at Club Aqua, though. And I said, yes, that's why I was going to Club Haunted House, because they have a trap door. And then Anna Laura Corrales said, maybe the bird phobia you guys have comes from Hitchcock. If it were me, that would be the case for sure. We were talking about how we're both kind of scared of birds, and it didn't come from the birds. I've always had this fear.
Same. I just don't trust them. And horses, I'm going to get shot for this, but they just kind of creep me out a little bit. Maybe because I feel like they absolutely could just kick me in the head and kill me. And I don't know, something about them I just don't really trust. Or they're just going to like jump up in the air and, you know what? No, wait, flashback. I know exactly what happened. I was riding on a horse with my grandpa, and I was 5 years old, and I was behind him holding his waist, and then the horse, I was trying to find this word, I forget what it's called, but he jumped up in the air and with its two front hooves, feet, whatever. And we went way back. We were like vertical. It was very, it was something else. And my grip must have been like no other, even at 5 years old. And yeah, I held on. But right behind us were like rocks and like, we were like deep in the thick of things in Colorado. And maybe that's where it comes from. So I recant my disdain to an extent.
Well, I'm actually a bit scared of horses as well. That's funny that we're both a bit uneasy about horses and birds. Whenever I look at horses, I see their eyes, and something about their eyes really creep me out. It's like all black, you know, there's like no whites. It's just these giant black saucers. They look like almost like alien eyes, the way aliens' eyes are depicted in the popular grays.
Yeah, or even some tall grays. But real quick, I did want to mention, like, a Pegasus might be our arch nemesis as far as entities go.
Oh my God, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, we don't need any Pegasus mythology floating our way. But yeah, let's talk about those tall grays.
Yeah, let's jump over to the tall grays story. I really liked this one by Velvet Haze.
Yeah, it was solid. I liked how their partner also experienced an abduction and then kind of corroborated it. And then the loud bang in the attic. I don't know if that's the direction I heard my bang, but if that's the case, or my three bangs rather. Eh, no, it was three bangs. I was going to say maybe I got abducted by aliens and just didn't know it, but I don't think so.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, somebody in the Discord said, because of my barn owl dream, that those are very closely associated with alien abductions and that they think I was probably abducted.
Ooh.
I don't think that's the case, but, you know, very well could be.
Very well could be.
In the Discord, we have a book club channel where we all read Communion, which has a lot of these really disturbing abduction stories. And I find them to be probably scarier than most of the stories that we get on the podcast, just because of how violent they can get. And they have this like this lack of emotion. The image of a gray alien and the whole abduction scenario and obviously probing and experiments and stuff, it's just really terrifying. So this one actually scared me a lot.
It definitely seems more violating, I guess you could say, compared to most encounters, because you're being taken out of your home, you're being probed, like you said. It's just very invasive and not okay. Not okay, grays. Don't do that.
Yeah, not okay, grays. One thing that was interesting about this is they talk about how the atmosphere became muffled and it was almost like there was an underwater sound.
Oh yeah, that's common, yeah.
The dog became alert and then they saw the tall, thin figures at the foot of the bed. And that almost sounds like sleep paralysis. When I had sleep paralysis, and I've talked about my experience before, it was a lot like that. It felt like everything was kind of underwater and moving slowly. Everything was just kind of chopped and skewed and...
chopped and screwed.
Chopped and screwed, that's what it was. Skewed.
Yeah.
Chopped and screwed is what everything felt like. This might just be a case of sleep paralysis with these tall figures being your version of shadow people. But at the same time, there was that loud bang that they heard in the attic. And months later, there was more attic noise. So, I mean, unless you've got some rats up there that are directly corresponding with your sleep paralysis experience.
They're deadlifting.
Or, yeah, they're deadlifting.
Gym rats.
Just going to say that. I was just about to say gym rats.
We're in sync, baby.
Yeah, but the corroboration with the fiance's family was very interesting. Now, there is a bit of an emotional aftermath here. Like, why did the author wait a week to tell their fiance? You know, what does that say about the weight of their experience? It's almost like they were scared to talk to their fiance.
Hopefully they weren't afraid of being ridiculed or something. That's not a good thing. But at the same time, it's so far-fetched by the basis of what we consider reality and all that. I could see why anybody, even confiding in somebody who's had a similar experience, they're going to be a little bit hesitant. So I understand that.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like in most abduction stories, it does take a huge emotional toll on people. I've seen people break down in tears when they talk about their experiences. And when you listen to or read about the regression hypnosis sessions, like, it's so traumatizing and scary. You can hear the fear in their voices. So,
Yeah,
it could be that subconsciously they dealt with a lot of trauma and that affected their desire to want to actually talk to anybody about it. They're probably internalizing it.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, I guess on the topic of dark black eyes, we also have the possession story of the brother being possessed by Wow, Look at the Moon.
Yeah.
Cool name, by the way. So I think the title of the story answers the question. Your brother was, in my opinion, wholeheartedly possessed by the sounds of things. Yeah. Demonic possessions are very much real. You did mention they, I don't know if you're listening right now, author, but I'm going to speak to you in the first person. You did mention that your family's religious and prays and everything like that. I'm curious what your brother's belief system looks like, if he's like an outlier of some sort and wasn't protected by some holy light that the rest of the family might be. You know what I mean? Just a thought.
I don't know if it was an episode of Odd Trails. Were we talking about this, about alcohol being referred to as spirits?
Yes.
Were we talking about that?
Yes, we were.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, well, they did say that the brother had been heavily drinking when they stormed out of the house and vanished into the woods. So it could be that they were under the influence of some kind of spirit. I don't doubt that there are some kind of attachments, spirit attachments, you can call them demons if you want, that have to do with addictions and other things that people struggle with in life. There are people that can see attachments, like attached spirits, and they can work with you to try and remove them. This isn't something that's, you know, super fringe or uncommon. That could be exactly what's going on here.
Yeah, like people also say, fighting off their demons. So it could all be tied together.
Yeah, these phrases have to come from somewhere.
So moving on to another brother, the haunted apartment story by Grace. This one was incredible as well. Some really good stories this episode. I like these ones a lot.
Yeah.
This one in particular, the detail about the rabbit that Grace's partner mentioned, that really, that sealed it for me, because something like a rabbit is so random. Well, first of all, they saw the vision. They mentioned being clairsentient, but I think since they saw it, they'd be clairvoyant.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong.
And I think you're right.
That's just too much of a coincidence. The fact that they saw him, described him, and then cherry on top, there's the rabbit.
Yeah.
There's old Roger. No, Edgar.
No, that's good. Roger. Honestly, I'm ashamed they didn't name their rabbit Roger. Makes a lot more sense.
It's a little on the nose. Would you name a mouse Mickey?
Yeah, you know I would, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It's funny. Why do some spirits appear with old pets or symbols from the past? It's almost like that animals do really have spirits or souls, like we hear about from some other people that have been able to travel to those dimensions and interact with them in the afterlife. I think that, and I think this because I want to believe this, that our pets stay attached to us in the afterlife.
Oh yeah, spirit animal, soul bound, soulmate. People call their pets soulmates all the time. Like my buddy Hank. That's, I've had a lot of cats in my life, and I love them all very much, but there's just something else about my boy Hank where I can't really describe it, but there's just this like chemical bond between us. And I'm getting all tingly and hot and heavy now, so I better slow down.
No, yeah, just you talking about that makes me feel the same exact way about my dogs. I was just feeling the same thing.
Yeah, for sure. I felt that way about my aunt's dog.
Oh, was that your aunt's dog?
That was, yeah, that was my aunt's dog.
Oh, so sweet.
Within under a minute, I was just like on my knees playing with it, petting it. And I like dogs. They're great. Not typically for me just because they require too much work. But I was just head over heels and felt a bond like I've felt with my own pets. And it was really strange. And my brother's also even more so, like he just flat out doesn't really like dogs that much. But he was just like, yeah, no, I feel something with this, with this Charlie. It's weird how they find us. It just, and his cat, who was his soulmate just as much as Hank, his name was Charlie also. So it's kind of like a full rotation in the universe or whatever, where another Charlie has entered his life, and this time it's a dog and he feels this bond to it. It's a sweet. Pets are great. And I do think that they'll join us in the afterlife that awaits us because, yeah, our souls are bound.
I feel so stupid. I didn't know that a Cavalier King Charles was a spaniel. Yeah, the more you learn, the more you know, the more you learn. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't know if it's coming through, but I'm very exhausted right now. I had a long day.
No, it's okay. I was up until like, I don't know how late, too late.
Wow.
Shouldn't have.
You're never up late.
Yeah, I'm never up late. That's, I shouldn't have gotten that Switch. That was like such a mistake. But I
got, oh, it was the Switch.
It got
was
me.
It Mario Kart?
No, not even that. You can like put it down after a race, but this is Breath of the Wild. I'm finally finally playing it because the hardware can actually handle it at full 60 frames and blah blah blah, and I'm enjoying it a lot. But yeah, I need to like check myself and do better things with my time, but I'm enjoying it.
I did the same thing recently because I'm in bed about 10 o'clock every night at the latest,
and 9 for me usually, so this is just unheard of.
Yeah, well, you have to get up a lot earlier than me. My dogs are the reason why I have to go to bed early. They'll wake me up around 6:30 or 7. So if I don't get in bed by 10, I'll get a full night's sleep.
Yeah, well, it is about that time, for me at least.
Yeah. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure you send your stories in to stories@oddtrails.com if you want to hear them on the show, and sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/oddtrails to get ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate and support the show. Again, that's patreon.com/oddtrails. And be sure to check out the new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet, Cryptic Encounters, the Old Time Radio Cast, and D-Grads, all at crypticcountypodcasts.com. We'll see you next week. Everybody, stay safe.
Peace out.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.